Well, you know, the whole discussion of karma is really involved. If, you know, let's say I have a habitual emotional reaction, emotional charge. Somebody says, "Hey, Scott, that's stupid." And I always got angry. But I did some deep self-understanding and was able to find distorted self-image, self-worth issues at the base of my reactivity, and could bring love and understanding to that, forgiveness to its cause and my responsibility and all of that, so that I no longer have such reactivity. Is that called freedom from karma? Or is that called changed karmic stream? Well, changed karmic stream is what's called freedom from karma, it seems to me. And so, karma is cause and effect. And as we act upon skillful or helpful intentions, like the intention to take responsibility for my emotional reaction and move towards healing by understanding and acceptance, and then bring greater love, wisdom to that, then the karmic, the deep, you know, the lower chakra conditions change. And then the deep mind beliefs change. Then the emotional reactivity goes away, or is much, much less. That's a changed karmic stream, and from changed intentions. Is that freedom? I guess that could be called a greater freedom from certain karmic patterns. So, yes, as the path goes on, we can be said to be more free from karma. But it's really freedom from karma ultimately is freedom from causality. And causality, because karma is cause and effect. And so there's good karma, bad karma, which means the consequences of skillful and helpful versus unskillful and unhelpful or non-distorted and distorted intentions, and then speech and action. So, as the as our the spiritual path is greater awareness of our potentials associated with higher chakras. And so, more awareness of higher potentials equals more development of love, wisdom, and six right. As that happens, the lower conditions change, lower triad chakra, lower chakras change, and the karmic stream changes. But we're not free from karma. We're free from the consequences of unhelpful intentions, unskillful or distorted intentions. But we're still in the karmic stream, or still producing karmic stream. So, how we want to use these words is more subtle and delicate. The only people who are free of karma or beyond karma are those who are outside causality, which means those who've ended ignorance, or really those that have no need for recycling in the octave. They're free of karma. They're not operating within the karmic paradigm of the seven-dimensional system. Yeah, time is a product. Time is one aspect of the consciousness associated with causality. Well, first of all, higher dimensions have, I mean, the duality between an incarnate physical space-time and a disincarnate or non-physical subtle body of time-space, that dimensional polarity exists in third, fourth, fifth, and sixth density, it seems. So it's not that higher dimensions are space-time or time-space, they are both, if we're talking about fourth and fifth and sixth density. But yes, higher dimensional life is associated with higher dimensional consciousness, and without a veil, and with a higher development energy condition of consciousness associated with higher chakras being the base level, fourth chakra, fifth chakra, sixth chakra, as the base level of consciousness associated with fourth and fifth, sixth density. Those realms of higher consciousness and higher energy condition, higher frequency or whatever energy is, the photon of light or intelligent energy, the experience of causality and the experience of time is quite different. Absolutely. But there's still causality and experience of time. Yeah, causality means an experience of cause and effect, which is temporality or time. Yes. It's the experience of distinction between a cause and an effect. It doesn't imply that they're... It doesn't speak to their true nature. It speaks to the mind experience. The mind experience is that, yes, indeed, there is a time-based difference between cause of the past and consequence in the present, or cause in the present and consequence in the future. It's not Ra's teaching or what I've said that there's less experience of time and more experience of space in higher dimensions. That's not what I've said. If you listen to the talk on time, space, space, time again, Ra talked about in the experience of space, time in third density, and we can assume in fourth and fifth and then sixth density somewhat, in space, time, or the physical incarnative or physical type dimensional experience in 3, 4, 5, 6, there is a focus on fixity in time, in third density particularly, there is a sense of fixity in time and freedom in space, meaning we can move our bodies in third density, we can move our bodies around, but we don't know the past and the future. In time-space, in 3D, 3D time-space, and somewhat more so, obviously, in higher dimensions also, but that's a whole nother, a little bit different. In time-space 3D, at least, there, yes, is an experience of less mobility in space, but more freedom in time. The freedom in time really just means that the mind can experience in the present moment less distinction between past, present, future. It's not like 3D time-space is complete and perfect enlightenment, but there's less distance, let's say, or there's more of an experience of true simultaneity, a little bit more than space-time, in time-space, 3D time-space, where the mind has a greater ability, like in Life Review, to look at the flow of an incarnation and also look at consequence. And so past, present, future is more present in a now in time-space than in space-time. Oh yeah, absolutely. Karma is definitely understood more fully than in higher dimensions and in 3D time-space. Karma, the karmic flow or karmic stream is understood much more deeply than here. For sure. And that begins with Life Review. So Life Review is an example of how the mind has a more intimate experience of past, present, future, and an understanding of the sweep of karmic flow in a much deeper way than we do here in the physical world. The purpose of 3D is 3D evolution. The purpose of 3D is not evolution in other dimensions, and so the purpose, the dynamics of third density, the metaphysics of 3D space time, the veil, and this kind of a biological body, and all the great limitations of control of body by mind coming from the veil, and the great limitations of mind's awareness of causality and time and karma, all of that serves the purpose of third density, which is 3D evolution for souls that need 3D evolution. because they haven't gotten out of third density yet. And the purpose of third density is to learn the ways of love. That's it. And the Logoi understood, I guess, that that learning, the doing of the purpose, the fulfillment of the purpose of third density to learn the ways of love, was far better achieved with these all of these limitations of mind and consciousness. It's you know, all the limitations of our awareness now are associated with basic purposes of third density incarnation, or third density as a whole, which is to learn the ways of love. And so we see that too, where Ra talked about the difference between subjective knowing and subjective acceptance. That subjective knowing is a poor friend because of the vagaries of knowledge, of understanding, based on all the limitations of consciousness and mind in 3D space-time. And so far more trustworthy for a basis for spiritual evolution or development is subjective acceptance, which is love. Meaning, I can't fully understand it, but I can accept, I can move to seek to accept it as is, and including accepting my not knowing. That's subjective acceptance. Faith, there's a linkage, obviously, yes, between faith and acceptance. Accepting without knowledge, yes, could be said to require some faith. So faith is more associated with sixth chakra, actually, in my view. Ra talked about will and faith as comparable. And so that's the linkage, that's the 2-4-6 line. So the development of subjective acceptance, where acceptance is a quality of heart chakra or fourth ray or fourth dimension, the dimension of love and acceptance, and the purpose of third density being to get the heck out of third density or qualify energetically and metaphysically and in consciousness, qualify for 4D incarnation, the development of love or subjective acceptance, which is more reliable than subjective knowing, definitely taps into or requires some degree of sixth chakra activation, which in this case is associated with faith. Yes. They're the same. I'm not encouraging spiritual bypass. What I'm saying is these simplistic, first of all, Buddhist teachers and Buddhist students have different understanding of karma, and different Buddhist teachers have different understanding, and Westerners who are scholars versus Westerners who are well-trained long-term under some teacher in the forest of Thailand and Burma have a different view of karma as well. And so only Buddha knows, only Gautama knows the teaching of karma, actually. And everybody else has only partial understanding. Now, what you're really, I think, criticizing is the view that karmic consequence is totally associated with service to other or something like that, while karmic consequence or the experience in the moment, whether it's pleasurable or pain, should also be seen as the product of our own, very personal decisions in the past that were skillful or unskillful, moral or immoral. And that's true. But both need to be seen. The misstatement, I think, is that the discussion of service to other in terms of karmic, the interpretation of karmic consequence as associated with service, is actually more rightly understood, I think, as an analysis of experience and causality, cause and effect, from the perspective of soul evolution, not rather than the perspective of pleasure pain merely. That which is in harmony with soul evolution leads to less pain and more pleasure. But the purpose of the experience of less pain and more pleasure is not some kind of static enjoyment, like reward. So pain and pleasure seen as punishment and reward, reward and punishment, pleasure and pain, as a result of skillful, unskillful, or virtue, unvirtuous, moral, immoral, doesn't take into account sufficiently, it seems to me, the evolutionary purpose, or soul evolutionary purpose, for which there is incarnation in the first place, meaning the purpose of cosmic plan being soul evolution. So, if we see, the parents whose children go into a child goes into a coma, or the family whose house burns down, clearly those are painful experiences. Clearly, we can apply the analysis of saying, oh, well, they did something bad in their past life to deserve having a child go into a coma or their house burned down in the forest fire. Therefore, they're experiencing this pain from their unskillful or immoral or bad causes, bad action in the past. Now, that is not unhelpful as a first level analysis, but it's very shallow. Because the purpose, again, of the consequence, the purpose of the production of consequence, meaning cause and effect, cause and consequence, consequence or effect, number one, comes lawfully. It's simply part of cosmic plan. It's impersonal. Anybody, or in this case, like a family, with the sufficient karmic causes, which are highly, highly complex and not just some bad action in the past, with that mixture, that conglomeration, that composite configuration, which is highly complex, of karmic causes and tendencies and levels of evolution, would have that effect. Yes, that's true. And you can say that because it's painful, therefore it's a kind of punishment or consequence of unskillful or bad causes. However, there's also the value of that experience for soul evolution. And so to say that the child that dies young or goes into a coma young, in this case, because it's a little different than a house burning down, that child has bad karma, that's why he died young. That may be, but it may not be. It also may be that that's a higher soul that didn't have any karmic requirement, necessity for the karmic experience or karmic balancing, an apparently required karmic balancing experience of dying young or going to a coma. There are souls that have that without having the common karmic basis of it that most others would have. And simply chose that experience for the purpose of service to the parents, for the purpose of the parents having catalyst for accelerating their own soul evolution. And so at one level you can say that it's the parents' good karma that they had a child, a high soul, who came in to be born to have a coma at 2 or die at 2. That was their good karma, can you say? Because look, they have this catalyst, very painful, miserable, painful catalyst of losing a dear beloved child, and there will be some parents who absolutely make a profound kind of metanoia or spiritual transformation awakening on the basis of that catalyst. Then can you say that was their bad karma, or can you say that was their good karma? you can't say anything because that level of analysis is shallow at that point. And so what is called bad karma, or the consequences that we may attribute to, quote, bad karma, these forms of harsh catalyst, or these experiences can be called harsh catalyst. They are catalysts, though, meaning they are configurations or phenomena for the people involved that they may use for their own continued evolution. Now, it's not obviously the case that, I mean, there really are wanderers, you know, you can agree or disagree, but in my metaphysics, there really are some wanderers here on Earth who are not 3D natives and have a very different karmic stream because they've been evolving in fourth or fifth, sixth density for millions or billions of years prior to this series of incarnations in 3D space-time, which is a vastly different karmic stream than the vast, you know, the 99 or 98% of the people who are not wanderers. Now, if you can disagree and think they're no wanderers, but if you accept that metaphysics, the karmic stream of those people is profoundly different. And so that's where we talk about the service to others tendency as a basis of karmic stream or particular life experience. But even then, the wanderers are here not simply for service to the other, but also to accelerate their own evolution, which includes lots of, we can obviously see, our distortions, or imbalances between love-wisdom, or the need to, you know, purify the total self in ways that hasn't been done, even if we're coming from a higher dimension. And obviously we have lots of work to do, too. So one should be careful not to apply a simplistic interpretive framework to karma, but to try to integrate the various interpretive frameworks, one being good, bad, pleasure, pain, another being catalyst provision for needed opportunity, another one being for wanderers particularly, but not only, a service motivation. I mean, there are 3D souls that are born into families with a lot of abuse that may, there are those that you could say need that experience because it's a reciprocal balancing karma, meaning they were abusive to children in the past life. And there are others who are 3D souls who were not, but chose that wholly as a self-sacrifice to advance their own evolution and provide catalyst, or the only point, let's say, of love and light in a very dysfunctional, abusive family. That happens too. So all perspectives need to be considered, I think. So thank you for today. I think it was helpful. It's helpful for me. And keep the faith. Take good care of yourselves. See you next time, and good night.